Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The song of the Redeemer. That's what we want to do, is grow from glory to glory as we grow in faith. We get from little F faith to all caps faith. Now faith is what we need now. Proverbs number 9. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. I'm asking for it. Yeah, I'm really asking for a bloody nose. Am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth? Yes, mark it down. You tell the truth, you will make enemies more often than you make friends. It's a sign of the times when men will not endure sound doctrine. And I'm really asking for it because there may be a scorner. If I put this up on the radio or put it up on the website, or send this out as an update, there may be a scorner that sees it or hears it. And this is the word of God as much as anything else. It's a command of the Lord. Reprove not a scorner. So I'm asking for it. And I know what's going to happen. They'll hate me. Yeah, they'll hate me for it. But when I know Yeshua says, sick 'em by the Holy Ghost, I don't worry about being hated. I think you're the same way that I am. You want to study to show yourself approved unto God. Now, when you do that, the majority of men will not approve of how you have become approved unto God. They will not. And this is a command of the Lord, and remember it in this time. And even though I am going to do this, make sure that you're called to do this, because it is a command of the Lord. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. But you see, there's a flip side of this coin. I would say the vast majority of those who listen to the Great Joy and Great Tribulation radio podcasts, and certainly the very vast majority of those that read the Great Joy and Great Tribulation updates, are wise. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. So we're not going to play patty cake here. This is not necessarily going to be nice. And I know I'm asking for it. I know that there will be those who hate me for this. But have you ever felt the Lord's thumb in your back? I feel it right now. I'll tell you the truth. I feel it right now. You may know. But overall, there are few who know how deeply I grieve and how much my soul is vexed by the perverse doctrines and the failure of the elders to guard the doors in the Messianic movement, to guard the doors from the grievous wolves entering Messianic congregations. I do always delight when someone admonishes me regarding certain things like which Bible is the Bible. I love to be admonished about that. I enjoy it when someone would admonish me how vital it is that we know that Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, is the I Am, that he is God, the Creator as well as the Redeemer, that he is the I Am who was in that pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, and who wrote with his finger in stone the Ten Commandments. And we need to be admonished by one another. Iron sharpens iron. And we should admonish anyone who professes to have faith in Yeshua. We should admonish on these things. Let me give you the words of Jesus, which tells us why this is so vital. He said, "For unless ye believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins." It doesn't get any more important than that. Unless you believe that I am that I am, just like he told Moses, unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. For unless you believe that he is the I am, God, the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one and only Messiah, the one who taught the Torah to Moses, unless you believe that, we shall die in our sins. It does not get any more important than that. And we need to admonish one another. We need to be admonished to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. How many times did Yeshua tell us? Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And sometimes we might feel like Don Quixote. You know, he's out there jousting with windmills, and he'd lose every time. He'd get beat up by that windmill. That windmill beat him up, knock him off his horse every time. And sometimes we may feel like Don Quixote, and for sure feel like the lone sparrow on the rooftop. But we must stand for righteousness' sake. We must. We don't have another option but to stand for righteousness' sake. We have watched the greatest prophetic move of the Spirit in the history of the church. The greatest prophetic movement, far greater than the entire Reformation, prophetically. We have watched the greatest prophetic move of the Spirit become an abomination in many respects. Because so few elders have had the courage to speak the truth. As elders in the body of Messiah, we have a duty, and it is a duty, to cut off the occasion which religious counterfeit and seducing spirits seek. And in my long involvement with the Messianic movement, I would be hard-pressed to name five other men who have spoken out saying what must be said according to the duty of love in regard to this vital command of the Lord to beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Luke 18, starting at verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You ever been in a group like that? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. That's the key, see. Certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God didn't hear a word he said. He prayed with himself. Oh, and oh, he felt good about himself after he had finished praying. Listen to what he prayed. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the publican, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. It is such an important command of the Lord to beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And it's time for gathering with Messiah and not scattering. Do you hear what I said? It's time for gathering with Messiah and not scattering. We're not to go along to get along. I love what Brother Scott brought out. Tolerance and holiness do not mix. And I go further to say, compromise and holiness do not mix. And at the same time, it is time for gathering with Messiah and not scattering. We are not to go along to get along, but rather we are to gather by sound doctrine. Even in a time that is marked by the fact that men will not endure sound doctrine. Here are some main points that I think are key problems in the big messes that we see coming into people who have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge in many Messianic congregations today. There are some who deny the echad nature, the essential echad nature of God. Within any Messianic congregation today of over 100 members, there is very likely a covert cell group who are closer kin to Jehovah's Witness than they are Messianics. They don't really believe Yeshua is God. Oh, he can be Messiah. But they don't really believe he's God. And there are many within the movement that deny the biblical doctrine of the Trinity. Godhead. Yes, Godhead. You find it three times in the Holy Bible. You find it three times in the Holy Bible. God forbid. Yeah, you find God forbid nine times in the Holy Bible. God's nature essentially is echad and not yakid. It is the essential nature of the one true God of Israel that his nature is an echad nature. That's a compound unity. God, who is love, must of necessity have essential unity and diversity. Yes, both. Unity and diversity. Echad, not yakid. Moses did not make a mistake. Moses, Rambam Moses, made a mistake. But the Moses who wrote Torah, who received the Torah from the I Am, did not make a mistake when he wrote down the Shema in Deuteronomy 6:4. And that word in the Shema is echad. The word is not yakid. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, not yakid. That is the great profession of the faith of Israel, the faith of Abraham. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the faith of Abraham, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Echad, a compound unity, like one troop or one group. Or one class. He is Elohim, plural, not El, not Eloah. We see it all through the scriptures. From Genesis 1:1 right on through, God is not Yakid, an absolute singular one. As so many rabbis have changed and twisted and perverted the word of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That word one is echad, a compound one, not yakid or an absolute singular one, and your kids better grow up on this one. And some, though generally in a covert manner, would even deny that Yeshua the Messiah is God. They deny that he is God. They do not believe that he is the I Am. This is sad. This is sad, and it is very, very, very serious. They have no place in a Messianic congregation of believers. They need to be removed and not tolerated. These are your most dangerous, grievous wolves in sheep's clothing. They might even wear a rabbi suit. Such people do not know the Messiah. They do not know him. Especially those who have left the doctrine of Messiah And they are still, many of them, being allowed full fellowship and membership in Messianic congregations. And this is wrong. This is not love. This is far removed from Torah observance. Such who have left the doctrine of Messiah need to be rooted out and cast out of Messianic congregations. If you love them, or if you care at all about the people that they're going to take to hell with them. That's why it must be done. To be Torah observant or to be walking in love. And those who would deny that Yeshua is the I Am who taught the Torah to Moses, those who deny that Yeshua is the I Am should have no place for their pretense to be Messianic believers. And such occasion being allowed for their strong delusion and strong demonic religious counterfeit spirits must be cut off. In fact, such who deny the Lord who bought them are even teaching in Messianic congregations today. And those who deny that Yeshua is the I Am, the one who made covenant with Abraham and taught the Torah to Moses, cannot be given any place in Messianic congregations. They need to be rooted out and thrown out and kept out. Such are Antichrist subverters. Such are purveyors and transmitters of religious demon counterfeit spirits. We just went through this the other day. 2 John. Everybody should put 2 John 7 through 11 on a note card and have it where you can see it, because this is so important in this time. 2 John 7 through 11. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. It might be difficult for some to believe, however, there are traffickers in the souls of men within Messianic congregations who dare to deny the entire Greek scriptures. Yes, the entire New Testament. And they call themselves Messianic believers. Now, they're not real open about it, but in their pure little heart of hearts, totally given over to the lust of the flesh and religious spirits, they dare to deny the entire Greek scriptures, the entire New Testament. They deny it. They deny that it's scripture. And they even ridicule those who believe the New Testament scriptures are God's word. And they're allowed in Messianic congregations. Such people do not hear God. They do not hear the Lord. They do not have the Holy Spirit of truth. They've got powerful, very powerful demon religious spirits. They hear from religious demon spirits rather than the Ruach HaKodesh. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and the upholding of all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. That's Hebrews chapter 1. There are some heretics, even with large followings in messianic congregations, who are more and more rejecting certain verses of the Bible. And sadly, the majority of teachers in the messianic movement do not know the difference between the Bible, the Holy Bible, the KJV Holy Bible, and all the various profane version perversions. There are now 200 books called Bible, which do not say the same thing in the English language. God is not the author of confusion. God promised one holy Bible, the Bible wherein every word would be perfect, purified seven times by the Holy Ghost. God is not the one who was behind all these different books called Bibles. That's confusion. God is not the author of confusion. The Jesuits are behind that. Whether you know it or not, the Jesuits are behind all these version perversion Bibles. And I think the failure to stand strong against all these various profane version Bibles may be the greatest failure of the priestly duty, be it a messianic congregation leader or a local pastor. I believe the failure to stand strongly against the profane version perversion Bibles is perhaps the greatest failure of the priestly duty of separating the holy from the profane. Not to recognize the difference between the holy and profane Bibles. Today, there are even leaders within the messianic movement who would advocate removing entire books of the New Testament. Monty Judah, for example, has advocated the removal of the book of Hebrews. The Pope wants the book of Revelation removed. And he'll get Bibles printed with the book of Revelation removed. And here we are, the generation privileged to literally live the book of Revelation. There are leaders within the messianic movement today who would advocate removing entire books of the New Testament. Monty Judah has advocated the removal of the book of Hebrews, the only epistle that Paul specifically addressed to messianic Jewish believers. Michael Root, from the Victor Paul Werewoolly Yeshiva of the Way International, pretend to be rabbi, advocates the spurious and heretical Shem Tov and promotes disdain for anything Greek, and therefore is promoting indirect disdain for the entire New Testament. Today, we do sadly see the Messianic movement found to be more involved in dissimulation than in getting the gospel to the Jew first. That was the purpose for the Messianic movement. I was there at the beginning. I know the purpose was to provide a culturally comfortable place where we could get the gospel to the Jew. That's the purpose for the Messianic congregations. And they have left that purpose. Today, the Messianic movement, more often than not, is more involved in dissimulation than in getting the gospel to the Jew first. Dissimulation is to disguise one's intentions under a feigned appearance. Let me say it again. Dissimulation is to disguise one's intention under a feigned appearance. Well, if we need to be aware of wolves in sheep's clothing, how much more so the rough garments to deceive, and be doubly alert if you ever see somebody parading in a rabbi suit. Why's he got that silly suit on? Don't you think he's deceiving you? God forbid! Other words for dissimulation are deceit, crookedness, duplicity, underhandedness, fraudulent, deception, and hypocrisy in concealing one's true feelings or intentions. And some of the big names in the Messianic movement today would advocate doing the very thing that the Apostle Paul publicly rebuked the Apostle Peter for doing. Such dissimulation undermines the faith and is such a strong, deceiving religious spirit that it even caused Barnabas to be carried away by such Judaizing dissimulation. And this particular form of dissimulation, what it does is it elevates being Jewish as a prerequisite for a higher level of spirituality. Did you hear that? This particular form of dissimulation elevates being Jewish as a prerequisite for a higher level of spirituality than is otherwise available to Gentiles in Messiah. And this modern Judaizing has become rampant within Messianic movement today. And such dissimulation would even cast out those who are Gentiles. I've seen it go that far. Or deny them membership and discriminate and prejudice against Gentiles in many positions. God only knows who really is a true Jew. Did you know that? God's the only one who knows for sure who really and truly is a Jew. A Jew is a God pleaser from the heart, and only God knows the heart. Everyone who is truly born again by the Spirit of Messiah should be a Jew according to the best definition ever penned in Romans 2, 28 and 29. The Sabbath is the sign. There is no other sign. The Sabbath is the sign between the Creator of heaven and earth and His people. A lot of people don't like this, but don't tell me you're sola scriptura and bow to the Pope every Sunday. No, I'm not going to let you get away with it because I love you too much. The Sabbath is the sign between the Creator of heaven and earth and His people. There is no other sign that is sola scriptura sign. It is the sign that your God is the Creator of heaven and earth. It is the sign that He knows you and you know Him. That's the sign. Well, I don't like that. I don't care. It's biblical. God said so. Take it up with Him. Don't hate me because I'm telling you the truth. The Sabbath is the sign between the Creator of heaven and earth and His people. There is no other sign. It means His people will observe His seven feasts. It's the sign that He knows you and you know Him, whose name is called the Word of God, the Lord of Sabbath. It means His people will observe His seven feasts of the Lord. That's the meaning of that S on the end of Sabbath in Exodus 31:13. It includes the Sabbaths of His feasts, the feasts of the Lord, Jesus Christ, and not the Christianized pagan Babylonian feasts of Christmas and Easter. They're pagan feasts with Christian terms. They're pagan feasts. Always have been, always will, whether you put Christian terms on them or not. But much more, Exodus 31:13 means that He must sanctify us. Look at it. Exodus 31:13. He must sanctify us. You've got to see this. Exodus 31:13. It means we must not separate ourselves. He must sanctify us. It means He must do the separation. The name Pharisee, do you know what it means? It means separated ones. It may mean they separate themselves from the masses of the people, or that they separated themselves to study and interpret the law. But you need to understand this, child of God. Speak thou unto the children of Israel. Child of God, there is nothing more central to Torah than this. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am that I am, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Do you see that? Either the I am sanctifies you, or you got self-sanctification and you got a sure ticket to hell. I don't like that. How dare you talk like that to me? You don't know half of what I know. I don't care what you know. I know Yeshua, and you don't. And unless you get to know Yeshua, and unless you get him to sanctify you, you shall die in your sins. God said so. Unless you believe that I am that I am, unless you believe that I am, Jesus said, you shall die in your sins. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. It is the Lord who must sanctify us. If anybody's going to be saved, it will be 100% by grace through faith unto good works. If you're saved, your works prove it to you. And who else needs to have any proof? Because God knows, doesn't he? He knows better than you know. The only one that needs to know if you're saved or not is you. Jim needs to know Jim is saved, and those works which flow from being saved by grace through faith produce good works. They happen. But he must sanctify us. That's the important thing that so many in the Messianic movement today tend to skip over. That I am that I am. This is Yeshua HaMashiach. The I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. They've got self-sanctification kits of the Pharisees. We must not separate ourselves. It means he must do the separating. The name Pharisee means the separated ones. It means that they separated themselves from the masses of the people, or that they had separated themselves to the study and interpretation of the law. It is usually assumed that they were the spiritual descendants of the Hasidim, the loyal fighters for the religious freedom in the time of Judas Maccabee. The Pharisees are the most responsible for the transformation of Judaism from a religion of sacrifice to one of law. The Pharisees were the developers of the oral tradition, the teachers of the twofold law, the written and the oral. They saw the way to God as being through obedience to the law. And I tell you, brethren, as sure as I can speak anything, it was this oral law. It was that oral law of rabbinic extra-biblical additions which was nailed to the cross of Messiah. The Torah, according to Exodus 31:13, is explicit. No self-sanctifying. Jude 19s are not permissible. Jude 19 says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the capital S Spirit. They do not have the Holy Spirit, when they separate themselves. Anything other than sound doctrine, rightly divided from the more sure word of the Bible, the KJV Holy Bible, that causes division in the body of Messiah is not of the Holy Spirit, but rather by a deceiving religious spirit, spirits of rebellion, spirits of heresy, pride, envy. Having the faith of Abraham, the faith of Abraham, means that we will do the will of the Messiah to honor the Father. That's what it means, that we will do the will of the Messiah to the honor and glory of the Father in His name. We will do what God said just because God said so. And such faith honors God as God. Now, the rest is phony baloney. The faith of Abraham means we will do what he said just because he said so, regardless of what rabbi or teacher so-and-so would say otherwise. It means we hunger to know what he said rather than what the rabbis think he intended to say. What really could be a greater sin of presumption than to presume to correct the word of God? Think about it. What could be more presumptuous than to presume to correct the word of God? The faith of Abraham means we will do what God said, regardless if our fathers or their fathers before them, and from whoever we have inherited lies and vain things wherein there's no prophet would say otherwise. Classical biblical Judaizing was all but extinct for almost 1600 years. But as we should expect, in these last days of strong delusion, we're now seeing the greatest revival of classical biblical Judaizing ever. It is especially sad that we see this 1600-year-old extinct, destructive biblical Judaizing rising out of the greatest prophetic move of the Spirit in the history of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think most of you know we were planning and nurturing Messianic congregations before Messianic became cool or messy. And we do especially mourn over this revival of biblical Judaizing. Within the church, there's a great deal of misunderstanding of the biblical context, the biblical meaning of the term Judaizing. What is Judaizing? As the Word of God defines it, Judaizing is the view that unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. However, please understand that Judaizing would also hold that following the call to observe a Jewish cultural lifestyle places an individual on a higher spiritual plane with God, which is otherwise unobtainable. Yes. Yes. Unequivocally, yes. That is Judaizing too. When it comes to a correct understanding of biblical Judaizing, it's good to understand what Judaizing is not. Judaizing is not a term to be applied to believing Jews who maintain their practice, their heritage, and their irrevocable call. And it is an irrevocable call to be part of the nation of Israel. And neither does Judaizing refer to non-Jews who have an appreciation for Jewish things. But classic biblical Judaizing teaches that following the call to be a Jew places an individual on a higher spiritual plane with God that you can't obtain otherwise. And yes, that is Judaizing. Those who would look down upon Gentile Christians in churches should stop such vain self-righteousness. It is truly sad to see the feel-good, vain, religious, counterfeit spirits being given such occasion, forsaking and denying the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and quenching the Holy Spirit of truth with such vain religion of Pharisee holier-than-thouism. It is very sad to see these messianic movements elevating their own teachings above that of the more sure Word of God in the KJV Holy Bible. And it's very sad to see the teaching of the unbelieving rabbis who do not have the Holy Spirit, who need to find the grace of God in repentance and need to be born again, it's very sad to see these unbelieving rabbis being put on the same level of authority as the New Testament. And such carnal men should not be given platform to teach within the body of Messiah. I know what it says in James 3:1. My brethren, be not many masters. That means teachers. Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Those who are bound in rabbinic legalism should not be allowed to teach. Many in the Messianic movement today are carnal in the sense of not moving in the power of the Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. And while they may not be seen in gross carnal sin, there are Messianic teachers who do not know Messiah. Yes, people who have left the doctrine of Messiah to become damnable heretics. They may not openly profess it, but you just try and get them to pass the test of the Spirit, you'll find they cannot do it. People who do not even know Messiah are being elevated into teaching positions. And this is wrong. And the duty of love is to expose them. The duty of love to them, as well as those they seek to deceive and get them, follow them right straight to hell. We should see and be aware of the context and the beauty of what God has given us in our Hebrew roots. The Bible is a Jewish book. It has Hebrew roots. Only somebody that hadn't looked at it or studied it would say otherwise. However, rather than embracing the perfect shadows, the feast of the Lord are perfect shadows emanating from Messiah, designed to lead us to Messiah. But rather than embracing these shadows, and we certainly should not spit on his shadow, but rather than embracing the shadow, we should embrace Yeshua, the substance, the one whose name is called the Word of God. He is the substance from which and to which the shadows point and emanate. But sadly, we see so many people today in the Messianic movement who have gotten the idea that just because it's rabbinic or Israeli or Hebrew or Jewish, it has to be sacred. And that is dangerous. We must now, if we're genuinely Messianic, get back to our gifting and calling that we have as Messianic believers. Our purpose for being Messianic believers is to get the gospel to the Jew first and also the Greek. We are to preach the gospel to every creature that has not heard the gospel. And we must get back to the calling to reach the Jews who do not know Messiah with the good news of the gospel. We must stop proselytizing Christians to make them Jews. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Henry Gruber has spoken about this. And thank God, Paul Washer has also spoken about this to some extent. And I thank God that, you know, some people are speaking out. But there's a lot more that need to be speaking about this than who are doing it. And we need people who, from within the Messianic movement, who can say, yes, I am Messianic. We need people who can stand up from within the movement and say these things. Those who would claim to be Messianic believers must have ears to hear this now. It is indeed what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Shout me down if you believe otherwise. I'm going to put a message up on the radio from Henry Gruber and Paul Wasser. But I want you to know I'm Messianic as much as I'm Baptist, Pentecostal, you name it. It's hard to pigeonhole me. I'm a biblicist. I believe the Word of God. And I want to do what God said just because God said so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all in that the wicked should die, saith the Lord? And not that he should return from his ways and live. But when the righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When the righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth, and turneth away from all his transgressions which he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him, they're in trouble. But Christ, as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in a day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I sware in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace? It's not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. Now we'll make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. The Lord will not spare him, but the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. You know, every time I think of this, I really just shake my head at some of the messes that are going on in the Messianic movement today. People gathering to study the Talmud, and the Levitical system of cleansing, that was done away with. Studying the oral law, that was the law that got nailed to the cross of Messiah. This is a serious thing. It's a grievous thing. Now the just shall live by faith. That's what we need, is more faith. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Why is it people want to read the wisdom of those whose testimony is that they did not know or recognize the Messiah and did not have his Holy Spirit of truth in them? Shake my head at it. It's astonishing. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And God said to Moses, let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. I will make of thee a nation greater and mightier than they. And Moses stood in the gap. He was jealous for God's glory. Hallelujah. What an awesome, glorious way he passed that test. Being jealous for the glory of God. Oh, don't do that, Lord. They'll say you weren't able to save them. They're your people. Now, Moses, I don't like them. They're your people. No, Lord, they're your people. Hallelujah. Oh, it was a glorious thing. Moses was meek above all men. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in his book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, and he shall surely live. Yet the children of thy people say the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. God said so. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live thereby. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die at his sin, and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. And that's why you and me need to know these things. Because I doubt if any one of us doesn't know more than one person that needs to know these things, who are in very deep danger through this once saved, always saved doctrine of devils, of getting their conscience seared with a hot iron. Therefore thou, son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. God said so. God doesn't change. His word is forever settled in heaven, and this is what God told his faithful prophet Ezekiel. Therefore thou, son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I should be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And wherefore, my beloved, hallelujah. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. But I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, and did all eat of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our ensamples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached unto every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. God said in Numbers 14, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation, mightier than they. 1 Thessalonians 3:8. For now we live if, what a big word. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. It's a big word, if. And we should see it like a stop sign. You see, that if means there's a condition, and we need to ask the Holy Ghost, what's the condition? God will not violate the sovereignty of the human will. God does not turn us into robots when we come to repentance and get saved. Even the prodigal son was free to leave the father. The father testified that his prodigal son was lost, that his son was dead until he returned. That's the evidence of finding the grace of God, this supernatural enablement to repent, to return to God. The way is the way of repentance. And it's a very narrow way. Impossible for us being human creatures apart from the grace of God. Repentance is found when the grace of God gives us the ability to change when we are confronted with the truth. And without that work of the Spirit of Truth, we will continue to believe what we want to believe instead of believing what God said so clearly. Today, there's a lot of false doctrines. And we're living in the midst of strong delusion. The false teachers, the false prophets that we've been warned about, they are on every street corner. And this is a sign of the times in which we live, a time when men will not endure sound doctrine. And Jesus very clearly warned us and told us that false teachers would fill the pulpits and fill the airwaves in the last days. And Paul said they would heap to themselves. They just pile them up. Paul said they would heap to themselves these false teachers having itching ears who would tell them what they want to hear. We're in the midst of a worldwide famine for hearing the Word of God. Yeshua said it would be like it was in the days of Noah. Paul said there would be a great apostasia. That's not a rapture. That's a great falling away from the faith. But most false teachers of pre-trib la-la land call the apostasia a rapture. Well, you don't have to know much Greek to see that apostasia is much more like apostasy than rapture. Yeah, I believe in the rapture. It's just going to happen when God said it'll happen. And we're in that great falling away. The great apostasy. The great departure from the truth. The great departure from the faith. And for this cause, listen up. 2 Thessalonians. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Those are hard things. And yet, those things that sound like they're designed to scare the hell out of us is really good for us. It's good for us. And we don't want the blood of those we have opportunity to warn, to be held accountable on our hands before God. And every one of us knows somebody that needs to hear this truth to set them free from that particular doctrine of devils. Appreciate your forbearance. And that list is by no means comprehensive regarding this number one doctrine of devils.